Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Thank you. What a blessing to be here today. And I'm excited because I have such a heart for this. And, you know, recently, I don't see how you could have missed it in the news, but one of the greatest evangelists of all times went home, graduated, and went on to be with the Lord. Who was that? Billy Graham. He is a household name. In fact, he's won so many souls. He spoke to presidents, so many presidents he got to counsel into their lives, so many outreaches, 100 million people. 100 million people. Wow. Both through the Crusades, through his television, through his films. This guy was his whole life. Till the day he died, 99 years old, still preaching the gospel. What an inspiration. He was called America's pastor. But I'm asking you, he's passed on. He's in glory. Who's going to pick up the mantle? Right? You know, another great one, right? Reinhard Bonnke. He did his last crusade in Africa. And who's going to pick up the mantle? Who's going to pick it up? Is it just going to fall to the ground? Is anybody going to take that initiation for souls and reaching the lost? You know what? I believe that this generation, it's not going to be one or two great people. I believe God is going to let that mantle rest on a generation, right? Are you that generation? Are you willing to take up that mantle that he passed? I'm asking you, are you? Come on. You know what? You don't have to preach to a stadium. You do not. But if every single person in here just reached one person, it would change this entire nation. I'm serious. Each one reach one. And it's not too hard. If every Christian said, you know what? I'm going to take the Great Commission seriously. I'm going to use my life as an influence to influence others into the kingdom. Then we would see this whole generation saved and discipled. And you know, there is a story that I'm going to read today. And this is an amazing story. And this is a person who encountered the love of God, the power of God. And you know what? This person changed history. And I'm going to read a little bit about this person today. And that is the woman at the well. And you know, I guess this week was International Women's Week, right? So it's probably fitting I'm preaching today. That's good. And the story is about a woman. So come on, you know, the gospel has expanded so much by women. It's true. And Leanna Sequinta in India has seen over, I think, a million people saved. Heidi Baker, millions of people saved. So I think that God uses women to preach the gospel, right? Amen? So this is for everyone. So Jesus and the Samaritan woman. John 4, 4 through 30. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at that time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy food. Now, this is kind of significant. First of all, the fact that it was noontime. That is not the time to go get water in the heat of the day. You know, I've been to villages before where there's a well. Everybody's there in the morning, you know, when it's cool, or in the evening when it's cool. Nobody goes in the middle of the day. But I think it's significant she went at that time. And I also think it's significant that Jesus said, "I have to go through Samaria." The woman was surprised, for the Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Woman, why are you asking me for a drink?" You know what? I can relate to that from a point as last year, we went to Israel. And you know, I wanted to see the Holy Land. We saw it. We toured it. It was amazing. And there was rabbis like all over. And you could tell they were rabbis by these amazing hats they wore. They were huge. They were like big old hats covered with fur. And it was just amazing. And so we saw these people quite often when we went to the Wailing Wall. And so I was so curious about that hat. I just had to know, like, what is that made of? It was just so interesting. So I went up to a rabbi and started talking. And I said, hey, I really like your hat. You know, what's it made of? The guy completely ignored me. He spoke English. It wasn't just a language deal. It was like I was invisible. And then somebody came up and said, oh, rabbis won't talk to women. And it's like, shoot, that's still going on? Are you kidding me? So, you know, like invisible. So not only was she the wrong, you know, gender, but she was the wrong culture and race. She was a Samaritan. And there was so much prejudice, you know? But yet Jesus, that didn't matter to Jesus. He crosses cultural boundaries. Like it said in the song, his love knows no borders, right? No walls. Jesus tore down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, between male and female. And so Jesus replied, if you knew the gift for you and who you're speaking of, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and the well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us his well? How can you offer better water than he and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Wow. That's what he shared. And she said, of course, she reacted to it. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never have to be thirsty again, and I won't have to come and get water. I think she was tired of going to that well. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Wow. Do you call that reading somebody's mail? You know, now talk about a word of knowledge. Jesus had that word of knowledge. But I want you to consider her for a second. In their society, what a social outcast she would have been. She was a 5-time divorcee woman, right? She was about hitting Elizabeth Taylor status of 8 husbands. She was on man number 6, close, right? And yet this time, I think she just gave up on marriage altogether. She was just living with him. But he spoke that word to her, and it cut right to her heart because she knew, how could anyone know that about her? Sir, the woman said, you are a prophet. So now, quick change of subject now. So tell me, why is it the Jews insist that Jerusalem's the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshiped? And Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father's looking for those who will worship that way. For God is a spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. You know, I think that is so amazing because so many people, he spoke in parables. He spoke veiled, right? Even to the disciples. It was God himself who revealed it to Peter. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. But to her, he said it plainly and directly, I'm the Messiah. Just then the disciples came back and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? And why are you talking to her? The woman left the water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" And so the people came streaming from the village to him. I think that's such a cool word, because streaming, now we're going to be starting live streaming so people can come and hear about Jesus. But it's amazing, just she went back and told people. John 4, 39 through 42, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." And when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed 2 extra days, long enough for more to hear the message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we heard him for ourselves. Now we know he is indeed the Savior of the world." Look at this. This is so amazing. This woman, she said, "Come and see." She brought people to Jesus. And it was because she had an encounter with God. And you know what? This is amazing, because Jesus didn't heal her. No miracle, no healing, a word of knowledge, a revelatory gift. And it totally opened her heart up. And this woman was a woman of influence. She was a gatherer. You know, if you do the DISC test, she would have been high on the I. She was an influence, you know. When I meet certain people, I think to myself this sometimes when I meet certain women or things like that who are high gatherers, high I, high influencers. I can think of Christine Truly was a high I. And I would say to myself, you know, she reminds me of the woman of the well. She's a gatherer. Or Dee, gather. Or Eileen, a gatherer. People who influence, influencers. This lady nearly flipped and did flip a whole city for God. A whole region came to God because of what she did. And I want to tell you a little bit about this lady, because she has a name. And Brian Simmons, when he was here, he touched on it a bit, but there's so much more to the story, and it is so amazingly fascinating. You know, we read the stories in the Bible, but these people lived a real life, and I'm going to share a little bit about it. First of all, you know, the name of this woman is Fotini. And up to this point, obviously, when Jesus met her at the well, she had been living a sinful life, and Jesus rebuked her, full-on rebuked her, right? Called her to repentance. But she responded with genuine repentance and was forgiven. And she converted to Christianity. And she took the name of Fotini at her baptism, which means the enlightened one. And this woman, I'd like to pick up where the Gospel of John left off with her. It's really, really interesting, because she was significantly used in the spread of the gospel, not just in this village. Her story goes on beyond that. And she actually has a place of honor among the apostles. And the Greek sermons from the 4th to the 14th century talk about her. She was considered an apostle and an evangelist. And it's so amazing. Now, people wrote about her, just like nowadays you might write a biography. Well, back then what they called it was a hagiography. Hagio means holy in biography. So they wrote biographies about saints, and she was one of them they wrote about. So at Pentecost, Saint Fotini received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, along with her 5 sisters and her 2 sons. And she began a missionary career, traveling far and wide, preaching the good news of Messiah's coming, his death, and his resurrection. But when Nero, the emperor of Rome, began to persecute Christians, Fotini and her son Joseph were in Carthage in Africa, and she was preaching the gospel. Look at, she came all the way from Samaria, all the way over to Africa, preaching the gospel. This is just so amazing. And after Jesus appeared to Fotini in a dream, she was sailed to Rome. Her and her son and many of the Christians from Africa accompanied her, and their arrival caused curiosity and upheaval in the city. Everyone talked about her. "Who is this woman?" they asked. "She came here with a crowd of followers, and she preaches Christ with such boldness." Soldiers were ordered to bring her to the emperor. But Fotini anticipated this, and before they could arrest her, she and her son Joseph and their Christian friends went to Nero. When the emperor saw them, he asked why they had come. Fotini answered, "We have come to teach you to believe in Christ." Wow. Come on. This woman was bold, bold with a capital B. This is amazing. Because Nero at the time was burning Christians. He was persecuting. He used the Christians as a scapegoat. And it was terrible how he was persecuting the Christians. But she stood right before him trying to convert him. The half-mad ruler of the Roman Empire did not frighten her. She wanted to convert him. Nero asked the saints their names, and she introduced herself and her five sisters and younger son. And the emperor demanded to know whether they all agreed to die for the Nazarene. He said, "Are you willing to be martyred?" And Fotini said, "Yes, we are. For the love of him, we rejoice, and in his name we gladly die." Hearing her defiant words, Nero ordered their hands beaten with rods for 3 hours, and after each 1 hour, another persecutor took up the beating. The saints, however, felt no pain, and nothing happened to their hands. Fotini joyfully quoted the words of the psalm by David, "God is my help, and no matter what anyone does, I shall not be afraid." Perplexed by their endurance and confidence, Nero ordered men to be thrown into jail, but Fotini and her sisters were brought into a golden reception hall in the imperial palace, where 6 women were seated on golden thrones. In front of them stood a large golden table covered with gold coins, jewels, and dresses. Nero hoped to tempt the woman by his display of wealth and luxury that they would deny Christ. Wow. He ordered his daughter Domitia and her slave girls to speak to the Christian women. Domitia greeted Fotina graciously. Fotini embraced and kissed Domitia. The women talked, but the outcome of the women's talk was not what Nero wished. Fotini converted Domitia and her 100 slave girls and baptized them all. She gave the name Antithusa to Nero's daughter, and after the baptism, Antithusa immediately ordered all the gold and jewels on the golden table distributed to the poor of Rome. When the emperor heard that his own daughter had been converted by Christianity, he condemned Fotini and all her companions to death by fire. For 7 days, the furnace burned. But the door of the furnace was not opened. When it was opened, it was seen that the fire had not harmed the saints. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego status. This is amazing. Next, the emperor tried to destroy the saints with poison. Fotini offered to be the first one to drink it. "O king," she said, "I'll drink the poison first so that you might see the power of my God and Christ." All the saints drank the poison after her. None suffered ill effects from it. Wow. You know, when you read in the Bible, I mean, sometimes we read in the Gospels, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. I mean, you know, I'm not saying do that, don't do that. But in this case, she actually believed those words and nothing came to them. It's amazing. So Nero subjected Fotini and her sisters to every known torture. But they remained unscathed. For 3 years, then he threw her in prison, and she converted the whole prison to a house of God. Many Romans came to prison, were baptized. Finally, he had it. The enraged tyrant had all the saints except Fotini beheaded. But she was thrown into a deep, dry well. Fotini now grieved that she was alone and had not received the crown of martyrdom with her 5 sisters and 2 sons. Night after night, she prayed to be released from this life. I want you to think about this. This Samaritan woman who began with Christ by the well ended her life in martyrdom in a well for Christ. And because she drank of the living water and gained everlasting life. This was a person who was so convinced of the gospel that nothing could shake her. I know that's an extreme example, but I'm saying people that are witnesses are willing to give their lives for the gospel. And there's a beautiful verse in Isaiah 12 that says this, "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." You know, when you experience that living water, that joy, that everlasting life, nothing can shake you from it. And, you know, the boldness that was seen on her, that same boldness is available to us through the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says this, "You will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." God has raised up you to be a witness in this time. your life can have great impact as you just reach out to others. You know, when we were in Africa two years back in Botswana, when we actually went to the Kalahari Desert, we went to a very, very remote village of about 500 people. And we went hut to hut there, evangelizing and sharing the gospel with them. And then we invited them back at the nighttime to do a service and give them a message. And I got to speak that night. And that was one of the villages where they had a well. And, you know, the well was the place where everyone gathered. And I shared the gospel. I shared about the woman at the well there. And that night, over 100 people gave their hearts to Christ. And it's like amazing because a village of 500, 100 got saved. Now, I didn't flip a city, but I'm hoping they will, right? That village. And it's possible. You know, we think these things are just in the sweet by and by. No, it can happen today when you actually take the gospel serious. And one of the most effective ways, though, with the gospel is what I would call friendship evangelism. And really, in a way, this is what she did. She said, come and see. Reaching out to your friends and your family. You have the most influence with your family, even more so than strangers, and to bring them to Jesus Christ. Because the bond of friendship, you know, people trust you, right? You know, 80% of the people that get saved because either a friend or a loved one leads them to Christ stay with their commitment and get plugged into a local church. Whereas some of the non-relational events like crusades, large events like that, usually only 1% of the harvest is retained. So what I'm trying to say is you're more effective reaching the people that you love. You know, I'm a strange statistic from the standpoint of when I was in seventh grade, someone invited me to a Billy Graham crusade, and I went, and I didn't get saved. I didn't get saved. You know what I'm saying? He preached. It was, I'm sure, an amazing message. I don't remember any of it. The only thing I do remember is we were like on bleachers and everybody started going down. And I thought, wow, maybe I should go down. I thought, nah, it's too crowded. So that's how I rejected Christ when I was in the seventh grade. Later, 4 years later, I came to Christ through friendship evangelism, through the witness of my sister. You know what I'm saying? So even those are great events, and I'm not downplaying what happens in those, but I'm saying a more effective gospel is you. The love of Christ compels us when we're motivated by love and compassion. Now, compassion isn't pity. It's not like, oh, I feel so sorry for you. No, that's not compassion. Compassion is love in action. You know what I'm saying? It does something with that love. Romans 5:5 says this, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our heart. When God pours his love in, you need to pour it out. You become those living waters, right? Because God has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. And you know what? I have to say, when you have Christ, you have hope. Because Jesus is the living hope. And I'm telling you, you know, even on your worst day as a Christian, it's better than being eternally lost and dead in your trespasses and sins. You have Christ. You have the answer. And I can remember what it was like to be without Christ and without hope. And it is a horrible place to be. It's terrible. It just, life isn't worth living when you don't have hope. And I remember a couple years back, there was an outreach in Escondido with FBI Art, and we joined him in that. It was really fun. And I remember seeing a gang of kids in Escondido. They were kind of a rough bunch, and they were all sitting there. And, you know, I went up to them, and I sat down with them, and I was just talking and sharing with them. And I shared my story. And I shared that I had been suicidal before finding Christ. And it come to find out each one in that circle had contemplated suicide or had tried suicide. And you know what? I led each one of those to the Lord that day just by sharing the gospel, by being vulnerable, by sharing your testimony. You have a story. And when you share it with the compassion of Christ, it affects people. You know what? Think about that woman at the well. She went back and said, He told me everything I'd done. Well, everybody in that city knew pretty much what she had done. She made herself kind of vulnerable there. But you know what? She wasn't ashamed because she said, that's the old person, right? Titus 3:5. He came to save us, not because of any virtuous deeds that we've done, but because of his extravagant mercy. Oh, I love that. You have the good news. You have the best news. You have the greatest news ever. You have found the truth. You found Christ. And when you're convinced of it, it, number one, transforms you, but it transforms those around you. You know, I think we were in Brazil or someplace, and we were praying for someone. And as we prayed, the healing virtue was just flowing. And they didn't know how to describe what they felt, but what they said is, I just felt the cure go in, the cure. And you know what? You have the cure for this fallen world. And when you share it, it is so powerful. It is transforming. Your life is a witness. Witnessing is not just an activity, all right? It's who you are. It's the essence of who you are. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says this, you shall show that a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, on the tablets of, not on the tablets of stone, but on the human heart. When you have that life-transferring experience, you know what? You have something to share with others. I remember in my family, my mom was saved, my sister Barbara was saved, and my sister Anne were all saved before I came to know Christ. And I was very rebellious against it. I've shared my testimony many times here. But after I got saved, and I was extremely hostile to it, not just I don't like it, I just was hostile, okay? So I had like a real experience. When after I experienced that, I led my three brothers to the Lord. John, Jimmy, and Patrick. I led them to the Lord because of what I experienced. And then my oldest sister, Kathy, she knew how hostile I was to the gospel and that I thought my sister was a freak and I never wanted to be that. When she saw me become a Christian and praying in tongues, she said, wow, I know it's real. This thing is real. So, you know, so when they see your life transformation, you have something to share. You have something to give. Colossians 3:16 through 17 says this, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives, and whatever you say, whatever you do, do as a representative of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father. You are that living example. You are that ambassador. This verse is so good. Colossians 1:5 through 6. I love this. Which come from the confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going all over the world, and it's bearing fruit and changing lives just as it changed your life from the very first day you heard it and understood. This gospel is going around the world, and every place it goes, it changes lives. It lifts people up. It lifts the broken up. You know, Jesus said to preach to the poor. Why? When you lift the poor out of poverty through the gospel, it transforms society. I'm serious. And, you know, we have obviously done outreach here. So North America, we've gone to Africa, we've gone to South America, we've gone to Asia and Australia. We didn't lead a team there, but we've been there sharing the gospel. So do you know what I'm saying? Every single continent, I don't care the people group, the gospel changes lives, and it bears fruit. It's amazing. So the next thing you really need to do is pray for the lost. Target them in your prayers. You know what I mean? I'm grateful I came to Christ, but I think a huge part of the reason is my sister interceded for me a long time to you know, break down the hardness of my heart, to take the veil off my eyes, you know? And so pray for your loved ones, and if you can, combine it with fasting. You know, we have about 21 days, maybe like two Sundays or something, maybe until Easter. It's the 31st. So really make a point to say, you know, I'm going to pray about reaching somebody and bringing them to the Easter service and come into agreement. The most influence you'll ever have is with your friends and family. You really will. You'll have a lot of influence with them. And I remember one time we did a mission trip to the Philippines in 2010. That was an awesome trip. I think Eileen was on that one. And we did concerts in different places, and we reached out and we ministered. And I remember this one young girl came up to the altar. I led her to the Lord, and it was amazing. So 4 years later, 2014, we go back, and we happen to go and do an outreach to the same auditorium. And you know what? That very same girl came up to me. Is that amazing? I did not recognize her, but she recognized me. And she said, that she had gotten planted in a local church. 4 years later, now she's on the worship team, and she led her entire family to Christ. So, I mean, that was like fruit that remains. You know what I'm saying? So amazing. So I'm just encouraging you, reach out. Talk to people. Jesus befriended sinners. He was not in isolation of the world. He's in it, but not of it, right? He didn't participate in the sin, but he definitely reached a lost relationship. And also in loving service, show the gospel through your good works, right? 1 Thessalonians 2 says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives also. Even as Peter's doing the outreach for Dream Center and things like that, giving food to the hungry. That's showing Christ's love in a tangible way, right? And demonstration of power. Take it outside the church, just as words of knowledge, prophecy, healing, any of that stuff. I'm telling you, it works outside of the church. We've seen miracles all the time. Or God will give you a word of knowledge for somebody or an encouragement. Use those gifts because that is a demonstration of the power of God. So it's friendship evangelism plus power evangelism, and you'll see so many people come to Christ. Well, I'm going to conclude with this morning. This morning, I'm just encouraging you as believers that you can bring the good news to someone else. You don't know where they're at. You don't know if they were to die, if they would go to heaven or hell. And some of your loved ones aren't saved. And I'm encouraging you, invite them to Jesus. Be like the woman at the well. Say, come and see. Come and see. Maybe you feel like you're not qualified to, to preach the gospel. Just share your testimony. Share what God's done for you. Invite them to church. Let them hear the word of God. Let God transform them. You can trust God with the results, but I'm encouraging you to reach out. Don't keep this amazing good news to yourself. Christ died for you, but he died also for you to share that with others, right? In 2 Corinthians 6, 2, it says this, in the acceptable time I heard you, and the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. I'm just encouraging you right now. Can you go ahead and maybe stand with me this morning? In a room this size, I like to give an opportunity for those who may not have received Christ as their Savior. So if you could just bow your heads for a moment, I'm just going to give people that opportunity to meet Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive your sins, to experience that life transformation, can you raise your hand right now? So I can agree in prayer with you. Okay. You know what? I'm just going to pray for you as believers for boldness. I'm going to pray that God puts a soul winner's fire in your heart, that you get a baptism of love that's so consuming that you can't help but open your mouth and share. So right now, put your hands out, and I'm going to pray for that baptism of boldness, just as Fotini had, that she was willing to stand in front of Nero, unafraid of death, and God met her there. So Father God, I just thank you right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for each one here, and I pray for a Holy Ghost baptism of fire. I pray that you would give them boldness, and assurance, that you would fill them, that you would flood them with your holy fire and passion for the lost. Father God, I pray that they would realize that you have given this baton to them. It's not Billy Graham's job. It's their job to invite people to share the gospel, to see the lost come in. So right now, Father God, I pray from heaven, Holy Spirit, a baptism of Holy Spirit, fire and boldness to preach the gospel every place, in your workplace, in your school, in your home, in your relatives, in your gatherings. Thank you, Father God. I just thank you for each one. And I pray, Father, fruit from this. I pray that we would see lost loved ones come to know Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.